welcome on this crisp fall day to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. We're joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. If you are visiting with us today, we hope that you will come back and visit with us often. And Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Let the morning bring us word of your unfailing love, for we have put our trust in you. Show us the way we should go, for to you we lift up our souls. Teach us to do your will, for you are our God. May your good spirit lead us on level ground as we call ourselves to worship. Jesus called himself the bread of life, saying that whoever came to him would never go hungry, and that whoever believed in him would never go thirsty. But his fellow Jews grumbled when he said it, even as their ancestors grumbled when God provided them with manna from heaven to sustain them after they fled from slavery in Egypt. Lord, we pray that we will always be grateful for all you provide to us, and that we will be constantly fed by what only you can provide. We remember this as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And this is the time we do share our announcements. I just want to warn you that next Sunday, you may have to enter into the meeting through what will be called Wayne's meeting room. Waiting room. Zoom is changing some of the rules on us. So just wait there and you will be admitted. It would be also a good idea if you would keep a notation somewhere near you of the password that Kathy sends out each and every Thursday. They may ask for that, they may not. I hope they don't. We're just waiting to see what happens next Sunday. I want to remind you that the event that we've called Confused About All Lives Matter has been rescheduled to next Sunday, September 27th at 2 p.m. We hope that you will plan to join us out on the lawn and invite you to RSVP on Facebook, which I think was included with the emailing that Kathy sent you this past week. Or by all means, just contact us at the church office. We just want to make sure we have enough space for what we're trying to do to be safe. It's scheduled to be gathering on the lawn of the CE building, and there'll be a discussion about race in America and the current civil rights movement. It's co-hosted by Eric Newby and Cheryl Peterson. They will each share their own stories as they relate to Black Lives Matter before inviting others to join the conversation. So come along, it's open to all, and you're encouraged to bring your own chair and anything that you might want to bring for yourself by means of refreshments, and we will be required to wear masks and practice social distancing. I would remind you also that there are new copies of the Scripture Union booklets entitled Encounter with God available outside the church office. It's a guide that has a daily scripture reading and a meditation, and some of the days are dealing with meeting God in the midst of COVID-19. They are free. If you can't make it to the office, just call us on a Tuesday or Thursday and we will get one to you somehow. Sunday school had an open house today. I'm hearing that things went fairly well, and classes will begin next Sunday, September 27th, using an exciting new virtual curriculum. So that is it. Is there anyone else who has an announcement they would like to make at this time? Unmute yourself.
Reverend Carol, can I just add something about Sunday school? Just to remind everyone, like you said, Sunday school is starting next Sunday. If you haven't registered your children yet and you're still interested, go ahead and do that. It's not too late to do that. And I did just want to note that the tween class will actually be starting at 9 a.m. on Sundays. And the elementary and the preschool classes will be starting at 9:15. So if anyone is interested in participating, those are the revised times.
Thank you, Sherilyn.
I just had something to add. If the tween parents could just keep an eye out in their email, if there's like handouts and stuff that we want to send prior to the Sunday morning Sunday school class, that would be good. And I'll send out the login information prior to the class as well.
Excellent. Thank you, Glenn. Any other announcements? If not, then Mr. Dave, would you lead us through the music that's been sent out with lyrics?
Yes. So the hymn we're going to sing today is "Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," and Kathy always sends the lyrics out with the email that goes out for the service every week. If you have too much trouble getting to all the different screens to be able to sing, I just do something like this. I actually get my emails on my phone, so I'm just sitting here singing the lyrics off of my phone, so you don't have to keep going to different screens on your computer during the service. So whatever is easiest for you, but we hope that you sing, and let's all sing together. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
In tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of cancelled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood availed for me.
Thank you, Mr. Dave. We had some wrong verse at the end, unfortunately, but that's okay. We made it through. To help in our planning for the future of our church, we're looking for folks who are willing to share the story that led them to choose Central Congregational Church to be their church. If you'd be willing to share your story, please call the church office or email me or Wayne. Stacy Boss has volunteered for today. She has written her story for us to read because she works every Sunday morning as chief cook and bottle washer at Don's Diner in Plainville. So Wayne has graciously agreed to read what she has written. Wayne?
Thank you, Reverend Carroll. I would have to say that Central Congregational Church has always felt like a family tradition. My grandmother, Dorothy Evelyn Boss, or Dot as some people called her, started coming to Central Congregational Church, followed by my parents, who got married by Reverend Bekelder in October of 1987. My sister and I attended the Sunday school program all throughout school. We have some great memories of Easter egg hunts with Jerry Goslin as the Easter Bunny, Halloween parties, and the whole downstairs of the CE building being turned into a haunted house, having cookouts on the lawn, receiving our Bibles, the list goes on and on. I also remember all the fun times we had with Mr. Dave, singing in the choir, participating in the Christmas pageants, and even DJing my sweet 16, as well as my dad's 50th. As I got older, I joined the youth group, and I remember taking a field trip to see Jesus Christ Superstar. It was amazing. Throughout my life, every church member has always been super friendly and so welcoming. Reverend Carroll is the best. You can always relate to her sermons every Sunday. I love everything about Central Congregational. It's definitely the right fit for my family and me. Now my little cousin Grace, whom we took guardianship of back in 2016, attends the Sunday school program and I'm a trustee. I enjoy volunteering in any way that I can. It's a great feeling to be a member of a church that has so many awesome and caring people. I'm so glad that my family chose Central Congregational Church. I wouldn't want it any other way. Thank you.
And thank you for reading that, Wayne. I really do appreciate that. This is the time that we share our celebrations. Ann McElwee welcomed her very first grandchild this week, a boy named Wesley. And she's in your boat. She hasn't gotten to see Wesley yet, Wayne. Has anyone else got a celebration they would like to share? Please feel free to unmute yourself and give us your celebration.
Carol, we started school this week, and it was crazy and wonderful and very different, but very fun. The kids are phenomenal. It was just a wonderful, wonderful week. So I'm really thrilled that we're able to get back with the kids and start off the school year in such a great way.
It's really amazing to me all the stories that I'm hearing about children who just want to get back to school when all the time they usually are complaining and going, oh, I got to go to school. Yeah, so I know that children really are in need of that socialization too, just like all of us. Yeah. Any other celebrations?
Reverend Carroll, last Sunday I mentioned a couple in Oregon that were in the wildfires. Well, when they were able to return to their property, they found out their home was spared. But her husband's business that was on the same property was completely decimated. So they had joys and sorrows at the same time, but at least their home was spared.
Oh, good to hear that. So that's Anthony and Brittany, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We'll keep them in our prayers because they've got a long way to go, I'm sure.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Thank you, Tammy, for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Any other celebrations?
Reverend Carol, I'd like to just celebrate that my dad turns 88 this week.
88.
And he's still going. He's still driving. He's still feisty. And
good for him.
He's going to be around a long time.
Very good. Yeah.
And I'd also like to say, I think I saw Madison's hand up. Yes, I don't know if she knows how to unmute herself or not.
Okay, well, I know I got Judy who wants to say something, but let's go to Madison. All right.
Beautiful. I would like to celebrate my first time running in the running club at school. Running towards the beach and coming back on campus. I would like to celebrate that.
Oh, wonderful. We're glad to celebrate that with you, Maddie. Very good. And Judy, you had your, you wanted
to... Yeah. Hunter and Julie are remote learning from home. It's a trial for Heather. Hunter is taking a French for being in eighth grade. And Julie is, she's got a little bit of a problem. I get this. Two of the teachers are named Mr. Kelly, Mr. and Mrs. Kelly, but they're not married or anything like that. She was supposed to be in Mrs. Kelly's class. They put her in Mr. Kelly's class, but at least the teacher's there to help her. You know, the extra special teacher's there to help her. So hopefully we'll get with the program. But Hunter likes school, and it's good so far.
Well, good. Thank you for that. It's difficult for all our children, but we want, above all, to be safe, as well as the teachers that are teaching them. So thank you for that. Any other celebrations? Then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. And so we pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer, including these people. We're praying for Loretta and Chad, for Roberta, for Ken, for Lee, and Edith. That's Aaron Newby's grandmother. We may hear more about that during the virtual coffee hour, I'm not sure. Nancy, that's Kathy Trowbridge's mother. She's at home following her surgery. We pray for Marie, for Bonnie and Bob. Those are good friends of Jan Meyer Dirks. We pray for Sunday school as it kicked off today with its open house, and we'll have their first classes next week. And Anthony and Brittany that we hear did have their house spared in those fires, but did lose their business. Those people who are in nursing homes and assisted living, we pray for Bud, Jackie, and for Carol. And as always, we continue to pray for all people who are suffering from COVID-19 and for first responders, for everyone who works in the medical profession, all the essential workers, for our government officials who are working hard to try to keep us safe, for those who suffer from addictions. And as always, we pray for our nation and our communities as we face these very difficult days together. So please join with me in a moment of prayer, and at the time of silence, please mention any other names into God's presence in the silence of your home. We won't ask you to unmute yourself for that. So let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, God, Abba, as Jesus called you, we come before you today at the beginning of a new church program year, full of hope and fearful of what may come next. You call us to pray for our neighbors and for one another. We pray that your Holy Spirit may descend upon all of those whom we have mentioned by name, who are ill, struggling, or unable to live at home any longer. Hear now the prayers of all of your people gathered as they lift up their concerns into your presence at this time of silence. Holy God, from you we learn what a father, a parent is meant to be. Strong, loving, and wise. From you, we believe in all of creation, which you declared to be in order. From your gift of life to Adam and Eve, we learn about the value of family and children. Today, as we begin again the task you have called us to do in educating our children in the faith of Jesus Christ, we ask that you would support and strengthen every parent, every teacher in our Sunday school, every young person who is aiding in that effort, Pastor Glenn with our older children, and all the members of the CE committee, and especially Sherilyn, who is leading our Sunday school at this time in this virtual experience. Lord, we have such hopes for the children of our church, and we hold them up to you for your blessing. Those who have the duties of parenthood so often feel overwhelmed by the responsibility of caring for children, and those that are in need of your help, especially. Will our children suffer hardships that we have not suffered? We do not know, but we know whom we have trusted in our hardships. Will our children have our faith in the midst of a world ever more disobedient and unbelieving, a world suffering from a terrible pandemic? Give us the grace, Lord, to instill in them what is needed to carry on. Help us as a congregation to work together to this purpose, that this church may be filled with a generation better than our own to sing your praises. Be strong for us, O God, and build our homes to your everlasting glory. For it is in Jesus' name who bless the children that we pray. Amen.
Scripture lesson today continues the story of Moses and the Israelites and their exodus from Egypt. We find those freed slaves on the other side of the Red Sea heading for the Promised Land. You would think they'd be grateful for God for freeing them from slavery in Egypt, but that doesn't seem to be the case. I will be reading from Exodus chapter 16 verses 2 through 7 and chapter 17 verses 1 through 4. Please hear these words. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you for that. And Pastor Glenn, you did practically my whole sermon. So maybe I can just go back to bed now. What do you think? In your wonderful invocation prayer. Thank you for that. Last week we asked if seeing is believing. The Israelites had certainly seen the power of God at the Red Sea as it parted. It was miraculous. The Egyptian army had been destroyed and they were on their way to the Promised Land. But is seeing really enough? Well, I guess not. Why? Because there the Hebrews were, less than a month away from those events. And what are they doing? They are whining. They are complaining to Moses. A month ago, they had won their freedom. What had they witnessed? They witnessed Moses defeating the priests of the Egyptian gods over and over, plagues of blood and frogs, hail and locusts, darkness during the day. Finally, the slaughter of the firstborn of every house that was not marked with the blood of a sacrificed lamb, as the God of Moses had instructed. They were free. But Pharaoh had pursued them, and they were defeated, the Egyptians, by Moses at the Red Sea. And here they are, less than a month later, and they are murmuring, "But what have you done for us lately, God?" So seeing is not the same as believing, is it? You see, they're hungry now in the wilderness. And by the way, a wilderness in that part of the world is a desert. It's not a forest area, as we talk about the wilderness in New England. Unbelief gives a short memory. The Red Sea is forgotten in a month. The Israelites could sing their lyrics of praise, but they could not believe that God would supply for their daily needs. They murmured among themselves and wished to be back in Egypt, where at least they had food and water. But when they were in Egypt, they shrieked about oppression and they were ready to give up anything for freedom. When they got freedom, they're ready to go back to slavery, if only they could have their stomachs filled. How very human of them. They were never satisfied with the today. always looking to the future or back to the past to a happier time. Let those who have never complained cast the first stone at these grumbling Israelites. Complaints, complaints. Who hasn't grown weary of some people always complaining? It happens at home with spouses and children. It happens at work. It happens with coworkers and bosses. It even happens at church when things change, or maybe because they don't change, or at least not quickly enough. You may have noticed that it's football season and we seem to actually have some football games going on. I've never been a huge fan of college football because we live in the world of professional sports here in Boston, but I know so many people who really do follow them. But I have a feeling of empathy for some of the coaches, especially of college football. They get a lot of grumbling from avid fans, from alumni, from sports writers, from the higher ups at colleges, and even the average person in the street. And I like what former Wake Forest football coach Chuck Mills once said. He defined a spectator, that would be me, of course, and probably you, as a person who sits 40 rows up in the stands and wonders why a 17-year-old kid can't hit another 17-year-old kid with a football from 40 yards away. And then that same spectator goes out to the parking lot and can't find his car. Well, back to Moses and his complainers, his whiners. He speaks to God about the situation. Moses goes to God. And God basically says, all right, I'm going to send meat every night and bread every morning. And there will be twice as much bread on the sixth day of the week. So quails landed in the camp at night. And dew covered the camp in the morning. But when the dew lifted, there was this fine flake-like thing covering the ground. And they asked Moses what it was, and he said that it is the bread God had given them. Moses warned them to only take as much as they could eat and not to bother saving any of it. But of course, being human beings, some did in fact save it and discover that the leftovers the next day were full of worms and they were rotting. God was testing them to see if they could follow instructions and have faith in God, that God would indeed provide their daily needs. On the sixth day, Moses told them that there would be no bread, now referred to as manna, for the Sabbath. So they're instructed to take twice as much as before so that they would not have to work on the Sabbath. And the leftovers on the Sabbath did not rot, but were perfectly good to eat. Well, here's a little bit of a preview of the Ten Commandments that are still to come. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy and perform no work. The Sabbath is already being established by God as a day of rest, and the Hebrews will not have to work gathering food for their families on the seventh day of the week. There was no need to economize, no need to stockpile food in barns. Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Give us this day our daily bread." Only those who absolutely trusted in God to provide them for them would eat their portion and lie down at night with a peaceful heart, knowing that the God who had fed them that day would feed them the next day as well, and the day after that, and the day after that. And then in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus that Wayne read from for you, we have a repeat performance over a lack of water. This time, Moses is instructed by God to strike a rock with the same rod he used to strike the Red Sea. Moses did as instructed, and pure, clean water flowed out of the rock. Biblical scholars tell us that this was a teaching event for the Hebrews and should be for us as well. God does not pour blessings upon us all at once. Rather, God's blessings are always there for us. We have to work for them as the Hebrews had to gather the bread and trap the quails to prepare them for eating. But Jesus in the Gospel of John is called the bread of heaven, nourishment for our bodies and our souls. And according to St. John, this bread of heaven gives and feeds our immortal lives. The manna was for one generation, but Jesus as the bread of heaven is the same yesterday and today and forever. The manna in the wilderness was for a handful of people, but the bread of heaven is for the whole world. Dr. Clarence McCartney once said, "Where is happiness? It's not in unbelief. Voltaire, the great 18th century writer, was an atheist. And yet he was gifted by God with the ability to write, and write he did. And one of the things he wrote was this sentence, "I wish I had never been born." Nor does money guarantee happiness. Jay Gould, an American millionaire, had plenty of that. But when he was dying, he said, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth." Happiness is not found in position and fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both, but he wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." That's pretty depressing. Happiness is not in military glory either. Alexander the Great, I know you've heard his name, he conquered the known world in his day. And having done so, he retired to his tent to weep because he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Wars had been all he had known, and it gave meaning to his life. Where then is happiness found? If we're Christians, the answer is pretty simple. It is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So as you break bread at lunch today, think of it as the manna that the children of Israel received from God. If you are hungry during this pandemic, please be in touch with us and we will try to help you out. But if you have enough to eat, thank God for that blessing. Don't worry about what you will or will not have tomorrow. Just thank God for today. Let your blessing speak to you in the depth of God's love for each of us and providing both the bread and the gift of life to enjoy it. So many have so much less than most of us. May God continue to bless us. Amen.
Now receive the benediction. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who called you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. This concludes our service today. You're very welcome to stay for our virtual coffee hour with virtual coffee and virtual goodies. So you can